of time to benefit us with what we have already heard and make us of the people of beneficial from what we're saying, and may help us to follow what we've heard so far. As Allah has made these works that we're doing to our shuyukh, we ask Allah to put this in their scales, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day that no money and no children will be of any benefit except the one who brings a good heart to Allah. And we ask Allah as well to reward everyone who has participated in these things that we're putting on and that we're doing. And in this night, we are meeting with our Sheikh, once again, Dr. Saleh Suhaini. And he's going to talk about how did the Salafi movement fight extremism and the Takfir movement. So let him begin, inshallah. Verily our praises are due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek refuge in Him. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil effects of our actions. Verily, the one who Allah guides, there's no one who can misguide Him. There's no one who is misguided, He can be guided. And I believe bear witness there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. He is one and alone. And I believe bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And upon His family and His companions. And whoever gives the da'wah to His way and goes along His tariqah or His way to Yawm al-Qiyamah. After this, my brothers, bury this subject as it is said. It's a subject that is of the times we're dealing with, or it's the speech of today, of the hour. How the Salafiyun, or the Salaf, the Dawah to Salafiyya, fought against extremism and the Takfir movement. Because this issue, or this subject, or these two subjects, fighting extremism and the Takfir movement, they are two subjects that are the reason for the world being divided. You see, you find extremism, this is what the polytheism has come as a result of it. And the issue of a takfir, saying someone is a kafir, it is something that many, many rulers have come as a result of it concerning the Muslims without any reason that is legitimate, except for the fact that we find that this thing has come out, that many of the people have fallen into this era as a result of their being far away from the guidance of the Book of Allah, the Most High, and the Sunnah of His Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for another reason, and that is because of their being away from benefiting and going back to the ulama or the scholars or the rabbaniyun of this deen. Those people who Allah, the Most High, has made them for this ummah. They prevent the tahrif of the people who go extreme, and they go and they prevent the bad ta'wil on interpretations of the people. And inshallah, the Sheikh is going to talk today about this issue concerning the different, from different ways. First, he's going to talk about what is extremism and the takfir. The second thing is how historically this thing has, how it has spread and appeared. The third thing he's going to talk about, what's the boundary between disbelief and belief. The fourth thing are the criteria that we have to consider in this issue concerning the conditions of a takfir, and also some rules and regulations about this issue that have to be known. The fifth thing, the excuse because of ignorance. The sixth thing, the takfir of a particular person. The seventh thing, al-wala and bara, or the allegiance and enmity, because it is connected to this issue. And finally, we're going to finish it off with explaining the wasatiyah, or how al-Islam is in the Salaf movement is in the middle between going to the extreme on one end or being astray on the other. So I say, and Allah gives the tawfiq. The meaning of al-ghulu is to go overboard and going over the limits with either talking favorably about people and describing them in terms that are overboard. And there are other different types of this. And this is the first reason of the shirk or disbelief. That's the first reason that disbelief fell in the world. As there are some texts has told us about. The first polytheism fell because of the people being extreme in righteous people. Because some people have taken some of the righteous people as gods other than Allah. When there were no scholars to warn them and to prevent them from, they took them as awliya, opposed to Allah. And they thought that these righteous people would bring them close to Allah. And they are what the Muslims are unfortunately being affected by until today. As for the appearance of a takfir, this takfir is giving a ruling to someone and calling someone a kafir, saying that he's a disbeliever, where you take him outside of the religion after he has entered into the deen. As for the kafir who is a real kafir already, his situation is clear. Whether or not he is from the people of the book, the Jews or the Christians, or he's just a polytheist, someone who totally disbelieves in Allah, or someone who has renegated. But what we mean here by takfir is giving the ruling on a particular person by taking him outside of al-Islam and saying that he's outside of the boundaries of al-Islam. So we want to know what is the real truth in this statement, this issue. As for ghulu or exaggeration, its history goes back a long time. Because as we have explained already in some of our lessons that have passed, the people used to be on the fitra or the natural disposition to worship Allah for 10 centuries from the time that Adam was created. The people used to worship Allah alone, and they did not worship anyone other than Allah. And after this time had passed, a shaitan came to him and beautified to them the exaggeration in particular people's personalities, those people who they took as lords other than Allah. And they started to give them certain types of worship with the claim that these righteous people used to bring them close to Allah, or they used to make intercession with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And also they started to make sacrifices and give these sacrifices to these righteous people, and started to give them different types of worship that was solely for Allah the Most High. So Allah sent his prophets and the time from them, Noah, until the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the best of them, so that these prophets can fight and have war against this thing and bring the people back to their fitrah, the fitrah that Allah has put them on and placed them on, that millah, that's hanif, the millah of Ibrahim, that is ikhlas or sincerity in the worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself, and also to get rid of worshiping other than Allah. After that, the people came into the deen of Allah in groups and waves. And then after that, after the Muslims became weak, and after the 4th century after the Hijrah, the people went back to this exaggeration in the issue of shirk. And there we find many exaggerations in different peoples and personalities. These people have taken as leaders who are ignorant. They have taken them as laws, something to be worshipped other than Allah. And they took them as leaders, and they listened to their statements and follow their actions. And they put them even before the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these people only fell into exaggeration. This exaggeration that they fell into, it made them leave alone the book and the sunnah, and also the guidance of the salaf, the righteous people. And they started to take from what those people who they were worshipping had said to them, those shuyukh who are the shuyukh or leaders of dalala. So a shaitan came to them and made them go off of the way, and they made them start to worship gods other than Allah. And this is the way that the situation we find all of the people who take other these righteous or personalities that they make holy, and they make them friends, and they hate because of them, and they put their statements before the statements of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether those this from the shuyukh of the Sufiya or the shuyukh of the different jama'at or groups, these groups that take the apparent, manifested, dangerous they made legislation through that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not sit down, and they forced the people to follow these things, this legislation that they made. As for the issue of takfir, this thing started to begin during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet said to when a man by the name of Dhuhuwaisa, he said the Prophet, he started to divide the spoils of war. So this man Dhuhuwaisa said, "O Prophet, O Muhammad, do justice. This judgment that you just, this division you just gave is not something that Allah wanted." So the Prophet said, "Woe unto you, if I'm not just, who's going to be just?" So Umar, he wanted to kill this man, Dhuhuwaisa. And the Prophet said, "Leave him, because there's going to come from this man's loins. It's going to come from this man's loins, as some of the people of knowledge say. There's going to come from some people that when you compare your salat to their salat, and your worship to their worship, and your recitation of the Qur'an to their recitation of the Qur'an, they will go in the religion and out of the deen as the arrow goes in and out of the sheep." So this is the first appearance of the people of a takfir. And for this reason, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, "Verily, this is the first issue that appeared that was against the minhaj, or the way of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah." And Ibn Taymiyyah also mentioned that the mistake in this thing, the danger in this, is worse than any other danger in any other affair. Because it's the first bid'ah that appeared in al-Islam, the innovation of a takfir. Those Khawarij, the people of the Khawarij, they were the ones who came out with this, and they came during the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the one who the Muslims called these Khawarij, the Hururiya, because they were from a place called Hawara, because it's a place where these people used to gather, these people. And there are many hadith concerning their description and speaking bad about them, to the point that Al-Imam Ahmed said about them, there are many, many hadith that have come, over 100 hadith about the Khawarij talking bad about them from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people, the Khawarij, they believe, they have three characteristics that are peculiar to them. They, with these characteristics, are different, and they've gone away from the group of the Muslims. The first characteristic that they're on is that they have left the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his guidance, and the guidance of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The second thing is that they have made the takfir of the people who make the major sins and the minor sins. The people are not on their way. They believe that the person who makes a major sin is a kafir outside of the ummah, and he will be in the hellfire forever, and his money is halal for you to take, and his blood is permissible to spill. The third thing is that they believe that the place of the Muslim, the dar of the Muslimin, is a dar al-harb, that you have to fight and kill the Muslims, and that the dar of the Khawarij, where they live, this is the dar al-Islam, where the Khawarij are located. He said, with these three issues, they have left the Jama'at, or the group of the Muslims, because of what they believe in their being astray, and what they've done, and what they believe in, concerning the belief systems that are not correct that they have, because they follow their hawa or their desires. And the Prophet ﷺ has explained that their action, this action of theirs, It comes as a result of them following their hawa or their desires. As this has been authentically reported on the authority of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he stood in front of the Sahabas and he said, one day verily the people of the Tubuk, they have split into 72 different groups in their desires. He said, pay attention fi ahwa. He said, verily this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad, is going to change, split into 73 firqa in the ahwa, or the desires. All of them will be in the hellfire except one, and it is the jama'ah, or the group of Muslims. Verily, there is going to be a group of people who come from my ummah. They will be on their desires, and that desire will make them become like the dog who has that disease, where they go crazy, with rabies. And there will be like 70 people who will be affected with this, and there will be many, many diseases that come as a result of it. So this desires will make them be affected, like the dog is affected with rabies. They will not leave, this sickness will not leave any joint or any vein except it entered it, meaning that these people will be all over. So this is the first appearance of these people. Whereas we find those people during the time of the past, even though they were present during this time, they were at least far away from lion. They were not lions, the first one, because they thought that lion was from the major sins. And the person who lied, this lying was something that takes a person outside of Islam. So they were not lying, the first people. For this reason, they were not like some of the people of Takfir of today. The people of Takfir of today, they have now reached the level where they make lying permissible, halal. And the tuqya that the Rafida or the Shiites have, just to get what they want. So the Khawarij of this time, they have passed the old Khawarij with this particular point, the point of lying. Because anyone who goes against them, they say that he's a kafir and that they've gone outside of the deen. And these people of today, they have made themselves the hukam, or the hukama, or the ones who rule the ummah. So they have given rulings against many of the people of the ummah as being people outside of the deen, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. The issue that caused them, many of the shabab or young people of the Muslims, to fall into this dangerous sickness comes as a result of them being far away from the scholars, as we've already mentioned. If the ignorant people become the leaders, then there's going to be problems for the people. The Prophet has described, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these people as being foolish and young. And this also is applicable to many of the people who build this idea. Those people are far away from the scholars of this ummah and the guidance of the book and the sunnah, to the point that they fell into what the first Khawarij, those people fell into, by saying that the Muslims are disbelievers without any proof and without any book and without any sunnah and without any guidance from the minhaj or the way of the Salaf al-Salih. This is what is connected and concerning their history, the history of the presence of this exaggeration and al-ghulu, or takfir. As for the difference between al-iman and al-kufr, Allah the Most High has explained it in His book. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also has explained it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Allah has said, when he started to mention the condition of the mushrikeen, he said, if they make tawbah and make salah and give zakat, then they are your brothers in the religion. And Allah said also in the Quran, and whoever chooses other than al-Islam as a religion, it will not be accepted from him, and he in the hereafter will be from the losers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, I've been ordered to fight the people until they make their witness that there's no God worthy of worship except Allah. So if they do, and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, So if they do that, their money and their blood has become haram, and their reward is with Allah. Their reckoning is with Allah. So whoever bears witness that there is no God but Allah, where they're worshiping Muhammad as his messenger, and he started to do the institutions of Al-Islam, and he started to do what Allah made obligatory upon him and stayed away from what Allah made haram, then he's a believer. His iman may be insufficient from concerning his deeds, his actions. There may be some deficiencies in his actions, except in the tawheed, because the tawheed is the foundation, that if it is lost, all of Islam or a person of Islam is lost. And for this reason, many people have fallen into going against this or contradicting the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they have given the ruling that the Muslims are kuffar. They say that they're kuffar without any knowledge. They do this and without going back to the guidance of the Kitab and the Sunnah. And it's well known that whoever comes into the religion of Al-Islam on surety, he should not be taken outside of the religion except with that same surety. And for this reason, Allah the Most High has warned from saying the Muslims are kuffar with a great and tremendous warning. This warning has come very clear in many ayahs of the book of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah the Most High has said, O you who believe, if you travel in the earth, fi sabilillah, then make things clear. And then I say to the one who says to you, Salam, you are not a believer seeking the good of this hayat ad-dunya, because Allah, you will find that there is much good. That's how you were at one time, and then Allah blessed you, and then so make sure, be sure. And also, from what we should be pointing to and mentioning is the issue of making takfir without knowledge is from cause talking about Allah without any knowledge. And Allah said, and do not say or stop on that which you have no knowledge of, because the hearing and the eyes and the hearts, all of those things are going to be questioned about. And it's been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from a hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever says to his brothers, oh you disbeliever, ya kafir, that word has fallen on one of them. If it is as if he has said, or it's going to come back to him. It's either as he has said, the man is a kafir, or that statement is going to come back to the one who first said it. And it's also been authentic in a hadith of Abu Dharr that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh whoever says to his brother, oh you kafir, if it's either going to be in him or it's going to return back to the one who mentioned it, or as the Prophet ﷺ has said. And also from the statements of the Salaf, the people of the past concerning this issue, is that a man asked Jabir ibn Abdillah, the companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, did you used to call anyone from the mushrik as a Muslim? Did you call him a Muslim? He said, I seek refuge in Allah. And he became upset with that. He said, did you used to call him a kafir? He said, I seek refuge in Allah from that. And Anas ibn Malik was asked as well, that the people, they say that they witness that they are kufa. So Anas said, those are the worst of the people. They are the worst of the people. And the worst of the creation. And Imam Ahmed, he said that a takfir and saying someone is a fasiq, these issues are for Allah and His Messenger. It's not for anyone to talk about these things, to give rulings in these things. But the people, what they should do is they should just make what's wajib, what Allah made wajib, and haram, what Allah and His Messenger made haram, and to believe what the Prophet and the Messenger have brought forth, to believe in it. So make it something wajib. From what has already passed, it becomes clear to us the danger of this issue of a takfir, and that this is one of the most dangerous of the affairs that is a cause of dividing the ummah. And it's one of the most dangerous affairs that causes the ummah to hate one another and people to say each other are kuffar from the ummah. Because when we become far away from the minhaj of the truth, this minhaj or this way that Allah makes, Allah will protect us from this problem. After this, we go on to another issue, and that is some criterion that we need to know and some rules and regulations that we need to know in this issue. We first of all need to know, and we need to understand two principles. The first principle is that the statement or the action, it may be a statement or action of disbelief, but you should not give judgment that the person who said it or did it is a kafir. It may be a statement of kafir. It's a statement of kufr or an action of kufr. But you should not judge upon the person who said it or did it as a kafir. Why? Because there are certain conditions that have to be present, and there are certain things that should prevent us. The second principle. That we do not stop or prevent ourselves the second principle is that we do not hold as for the first principle, the Sheikh said that he said concerning the first principle is we may find many people have the Khawarij, they went against the first principle that we mentioned, as well as the Rafida, the people who said that the general Muslims are kuffar, and the Mu'tazila, and many of the other groups. As for the second principle, which is, we do not hold out, or hold ourselves back from calling the action of kuffar, we don't hold back and say that it's not kuffar, we call it kuffar. The people who went against this second principle are the Murji'ah, and some of the Jahmiyah. They're the ones who said that an action or a sin does not harm a person's iman, or the servant is going to be rewarded because of his action. So the second principle is we do not hold ourselves back from calling the action of kufr, kufr. After these two principles, we're going to go to the conditions that have to be present, or we have to give them consideration before we say that a particular person is a kafir. The sharut, conditions, and the mawani, the things that prevent us from saying that they're kufr. Because when we consider these things, what the Salaf have explained, and once we do this, we will be able to differentiate between the one who deserves to be called a kafir and between the one who does not deserve to be called a kafir. By reading all of the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah and following the statements and listen to the statements of the Salaf, it becomes clear that there are many conditions that need to be considered. The first condition is that this person, he shows us this disbelief in a statement or an action. It comes from him. We see it. We hear it. This is after he accepts Islam, because we're not talking about the kafir who's already a kafir. We're talking about the one who became a Muslim. He's a Muslim. So if we see from him that which deserves to be called disbelief, and it's very clear, and we have from Allah some clear proof that this thing that they said and the other conditions that we're going to talk about is also present, then we say that he is a kafir. The second thing is that the argument has reached him, and the argument has to be clear so that he has no shubha, or things are not left ambiguous to him. If this argument has come to him and the shubha, his misunderstanding has been made clear, if he insists on going against that, then he's a kafir with the presence of other conditions that we're going to talk about. And that's because there are some people who do certain actions, and they have accepted the religion of Islam. They bear witness, La ilaha illallah, and Muhammad Rasulullah. and they also take care of institutions of Al-Islam. But there are some things that he has inherited from his grandfathers and his fathers, and these issues are not clear. The truth in these affairs are not clear, as we're going to explain to you by giving you some examples and at the end of talking about these conditions. And pay attention to the issue of this, that we have to be sure to take away from them what is ambiguous by explaining to them. And the argument has to be clear to him. It comes to him and it's very clear, and he knows what the argument is talking about. The next thing is that he has to be old enough, mukallaf, a person who is mature, and he has his intellect. He understands what is being said to him. The fifth condition is that he should not be a person who is excused as a reason that he is a new person in Al-Islam, for an example. Because if he is a new person in Al-Islam, then there are some affairs that he doesn't know about. For this reason, you people must know about the hadith of Abu Waqid al-Laythi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said that we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of his ghazwas, the ghazwa of al-Hunayn, and we went by a tree that the mushrikeen had. It's called Batul Anwat, this tree. The kuffar used to hang up their swords and their weapons on this, and they used to take shade from this tree, and they used to think they would get power from it. So the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, make us a tree like they have a tree, so we can put our weapons on it and get power from it, like these people are doing. So the Prophet ﷺ, upon that, he said, Subhanallah, verily this is the sunnah, or the ways, the things that you have said, this is the same thing that the people of Bani Israel said to Musa. They said, make for us a God like they have a God. Verily you people are going to follow the sunnahs of the people who went before you, or as the Prophet has said, ﷺ. And even though this man who had accepted Islam knew, so when he asked the Prophet ﷺ to do this, it didn't take him outside of Islam. Also, the sixth point is that the person shouldn't be a person who is forced doing this, because if he was forced, this is one of the things that prevent us from saying that he's a kafir. He cannot be a person who is being forced to do this. He may be trying to protect himself or his money, so he was forced to do it, so he did it. Finally, he shouldn't be ignorant, jahil. For an example, he shouldn't be living in the desert, far away from the people of knowledge. That's one of the conditions, that it's difficult for him to go to the people of knowledge to learn about the religion. There's no one there in his presence to explain to him the deen, to make it clear. These are some of the conditions that have to be present. So if we understand these conditions, then the opposite of these conditions, if they are present, they are things that prevent us from saying that the person is a kafir. So everything that's opposite of these conditions, they're preventive measures. So if these conditions are present, then these conditions are present, these six conditions, they're present in the person, then at this time, we say that this person is a kafir. But the one who says he's a kafir and gives his judgment are the people of knowledge, the ulama, and not just the regular people. As for the preventive things, the things that prevent us from saying that they are kuffar, they are the opposite of the conditions that we just talked about. For an example, first of all, you can't say that he's a kafir if you don't see anything from him that is disbelief. So to say that he's a kafir and he's not doing anything or saying anything, this is a very bad thing. For an example, those people who make major sins or they do any sins, to say that they are kuffar, this is extremely dangerous. The second thing is that the argument is not established upon him, and the thing that he doesn't understand is not taken away. Here you have the man who doesn't understand, something is ambiguous to him, and there's no one there to explain the argument to him. Because the shubha, if it falls into the heart of a person, it can be very dangerous for him, because The way that shaitan comes on the person of one, from the shubahat, from his desires and his anger. And the most dangerous of these three are the shubahat, the things that are not clear. Because the shahawat, you can fix those up by, and anger can be solved by a person seeking refuge in Allah from a shaitan. As for the shubahat, those things that are ambiguous, if they get into a person's heart, you're not going to find most of the people being saved from them. As, and this is the secret of the Prophet's statement. So when the Prophet says, Allah has hidden Tawbah from the heart of a person of a bidah until he leaves his bidah, his innovation. And Sufyan ibn Uyaynah, he said, verily, the innovation is more beloved to Iblis from disobedience. Because disobedience, a person can make Tawbah. As for the bidah, he can't make Tawbah. He doesn't make Tawbah from it. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he also wrote a chapter about this, comparing the hadith of the Khawarij and the hadith of a man who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he whipped him because he drank some khamr for a number of times. And one of the Sahabas cursed him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not curse him because he loves Allah and his messenger. So Shaykh al-Islam talked in book number 11 in his book. So we should go back to that. So it's delusions, the shubahat, or the, and the second thing, desires, and the third thing is anger. The third preventive thing is that you can't be immature or young or crazy. Something like this will prevent him from understanding the argument. So the young child is not responsible, nor is the person who is deaf, dumb. The person who is deaf and dumb, there's no, the argument cannot be established upon these people. The next thing is that he's far away from where the Muslims live because the da'wah has not reached him. And there's no one in his presence to establish the argument upon him. He's far, far away from the Muslims. The sixth thing is that he is forced to make the statement of kufr or do the actions of disbelief. We have to talk about this issue. This is something that is done. He is forced and he does it so as to save himself, or he does it so as to save his money. Allah said, except the one who is forced and his heart is has the tranquility of an iman or belief. His heart is tranquil with iman. This issue are concerning the conditions and the things that prevent people from calling other people kufar. We need to consider them, and we're going to now go after this into another issue, and that is saying that a particular person is a kafir, giving a judgment on a particular person that he is a kafir, because this can be, as we have already explained, the action can be an action of kufr, but you do not give the judgment on a particular person who did it that he's a kafir because of one of these conditions that we just talked about, maybe present, or one of these things that would prevent us are not present, as we have already explained. We also have to stop and give some knowledge and say that the knowledge of his situation is with Allah, whether or not he's a real kafir or not. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said, and we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not legislate for anyone to become connected or to hold on to the dead people, to think they can help them in any way, or that you should slaughter to them, or anything other than that as it concerns the dead people. And Allah has not legislated for anyone to make sajda to any dead thing or to any living thing. But this has been prohibited, all of this. And it's from the shirk that Allah and His Messenger have made haram. But because there's so much ignorance and so little knowledge concerning the rulings of this message of the Prophet ﷺ in these affairs, We cannot say that someone is a kafir who does this until we explain to him what the Prophet ﷺ has brought. This is the finish, the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah. From the issues that made Ibn Taymiyyah say this statement is that this person who you want to, if the argument has not been established upon him, or the dalil hasn't come to him, there's the other reason, from other reasons that would that we have already spoken about. And for this reason, there are many examples that the Prophet ﷺ has given to show us this point, that you can't say a particular person is a kafir because he says or does a statement or action of kufr. For an example, he said there was a man who was from the people, two men from the people who were before us. There was one person who was deficient in his deen as it compares to Allah. And this other man was telling the man, leave off this evil that you're doing. So the one who was doing good said to the bad one, you should do. The good one said after the bad one died, wallahi, Allah is not going to forgive him because he was deficient in his ibad, in his deed. So Allah said concerning the statement, he said, who is the one who has the nerve to say something like that? I have forgiven the one who has died, and I have caused your actions, the good one, to be lost. So Allah had negated the actions of the man who said, Allah, wallahi, will not forgive you, because he went out of bounds concerning the forgiveness of Allah. Another example is in Sahih Bukhari. The man said to his children, if I die, then burn me. And then after that, throw my ashes all over the place. Throw them in the earth. Scatter them in the earth. Because wallahi, if Allah has the ability to bring me back together, he's going to punish me a punishment he never punished anyone else in the world, in the universe. So Allah forgave him. And the reason for that, because he was ignorant. And because he didn't truly intentionally do what he did. Because he had a shubha. He had a shubha, was a delusion, something that was unclear to him. He had no one to explain to him in clear terms what the truth was in that. These are two examples, clear examples, that are clearly established and authentically established from the Prophet ﷺ, that show that a person who says a statement of kufr, an action of kufr, is not, you do not say he's a kafir. So we cannot be speedy and in a hurry to pass the judgment of disbelief on our brothers and the Muslims, because to make this judgment is dangerous. To make the statement of kufr on a Muslim is dangerous. If you were to do this, either he deserves to be called that, or that statement is going to go back to you and return to you. And here, I want to talk about two other issues before we go to the last point. And the last point is that the issue of being in the middle course. The first issue that I want to talk about is that kufr is of two types. The major kufr and the minor kufr. And the types of kufr akbar, the major, are many. Making shirk with Allah, like making worship to other than Allah, Azza wa Jal. For an example, a person disbelieving in Allah, or disbelieving what the Prophet ﷺ has brought us, said, and cursing Allah, and cursing the Prophet ﷺ, and making fun of the deen, the issues of the deen, and looking at the deen, looking in the down way. Also rejecting something that's well known from the deen, and everyone knows about this thing. And also making haram what Allah made halal, or making halal what Allah made tahreem without any dalil. These are from the major forms of kufr. And also totally turning away from what Allah has ordered. And being persistent upon that. And the issues of kufr are many, many. The type of kufr that takes you outside of Islam. There are many manifestations of this. But there are certain issues that the Prophet ﷺ named kufr. But the ummah and the ummah, Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah, have a consensus that these things do not take you outside of the religion. Even though they're kufr. And the Prophet called it kufr. For an example, the statement of the Prophet ﷺ,
There are two people from the people. They have some disbelief in them. The one who talks about people's lineage and screaming and wailing over the dead person. No doubt that these two people are from the, these two sins are from the major sins. But the Muslims have a consensus that the one who does this, the one who does this, or naming this,
this is the disbelief that is small, the minor kufr. And this is the consensus of the Muslims. It's the kufr al-asghar, or the minor kufr. The kufr that is the lesser form of kufr, as Ibn Abbas said, and other people from the people of knowledge. Another example of the minor disbelief that does not take you outside of Islam is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. To curse a Muslim is evil, and to fight him is disbelief. No doubt, to curse a Muslim and to fight him is from the major sins. And the fact that the Prophet ﷺ named these actions kufr, it still is from the small disbelief. And for this reason, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has called the two fighting parties from amongst the believers, he called them believers. Even though one of them is fighting his brother unjustly. Allah said, and if two groups from amongst them believers start to fight, then make peace between these two parties. And if one of the groups go over bounds against the other, then all of you fight against the one who went over bounds until he comes back to the way of Allah. And if he comes back, then judge between them in justice. Then he said in another ayah, verily the believers are brothers, so make peace between your brothers. So make peace between your brothers. The second issue after this, the first issue was that the kufr is the major and minor. The second issue is judging by other than what Allah has revealed. This is the second issue. No doubt that judging with other than what Allah has revealed, judging with what Allah has revealed is wajib upon the Muslims. And we have to, and they have to judge by Allah's book in all of their affairs. Allah said in the Quran, I swear by your Lord, they do not believe until they cause you, Muhammad, to judge between their cases and then in that which they disagree in, and then they do not find any problem with what you have judged, and they have submitted it totally. And Allah said in another ayah, and whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, for those people are the kuffar. In another ayah, they are the oppressors. In another ayah, they are the fasiqun, or the evildoers. So the judgment of Allah, the ruling of Allah, is upon everyone. Allah says, and judge between them with what Allah has revealed, and don't follow their desires. O Daud, verily made you a khalif in the earth. So judge between the people by what Allah has revealed, and do not follow your desires. So therefore, we have to make the ruling with what Allah has revealed in the fundamentals of the religion and in the branches of the religion. And we cannot go outside of that one bit. This is what is obligatory upon all of the Muslims. So judging by what Allah has revealed, this is a part of the deen that is not separated from the tawheed of Allah, the oneness of Allah. Because from worshiping Allah is that we cause ourselves to judge with what He revealed in all of our affairs. Now it has to remain that it is said. Who has gone against this affair, and they've gone against this issue, and they judge by other than what Allah revealed? Who did that? Who did that? What do we say about the person who has done this? First, we have to return to some of the statements of the Salaf, like Ibn Abbas. He said concerning the statement of Allah, and whoever does not judge with what Allah has revealed, they are the kuffar. Ibn Abbas said, this is not the kufr that you people understand, where you go outside of the ummah. He said, this is disbelief less than disbelief, and oppression less than oppression, and fisq, or evil, less than evil. So the scholars of the Salaf have explained this in detail. We should understand, consider. The people who don't judge by what Allah revealed are of different groups and divisions. There are 6 or 7 different types. I'm going to summarize these 6 or 7 people. First, the first type of person who judges by other than what Allah reveals is a scholar, a person who knows. He makes ijtihad, a scholar. He makes the decision. He makes He has the ability, the tools and utensils to make his ijtihad, and he is qualified. So he judges by other than what Allah has revealed. This person, when he makes his ijtihad, and if he's right, he gets two rewards. The second person, that same man who we just mentioned, that scholar who has the tools and utensils, and he's a mujtahid. He does his best. He does his best to find the dalil and to take the dalil, and he has the ability to do that. But he makes a mistake. He makes a mistake in this issue. He makes a mistake, so he only gets one reward. And the statement of the Prophet ﷺ applies to this person, that he said, verily the ruler, the judge, if he does his best to get the ruling, if he is correct, he gets two rewards. If he makes a mistake, he only gets one reward. So this is the first two people who judge by other than what Allah, who judge by what Allah. The third person is an ignorant man. He put himself forward and gave his own ruling in Allah's religion because of his ignorance. He could have went back to the people of knowledge, and he could have got fiqh and understanding of the deen, but he didn't do that. He didn't do that. So he gave his judgment on his ruling. This third person is sinning whether he got it right or he got it wrong. He's a sinner. Whether he got it right, the ruling, or whether he got it right or wrong. Because he's jahil, he's ignorant. So he gave a ruling based upon ignorance. And he didn't make himself go out to get the ruling of Allah by going to the scholars and getting the knowledge, by learning and getting fiqh and understanding. This person is sinning even if he gets the issue correct. The fourth group, a man or a person, he made a ruling with other than what Allah has revealed in an issue or two. And he knows the ruling of Allah, the judgment of Allah is the truth. And he believes that that is the truth. And he sees and understands that he in his ruling going against that, that he's wrong. He understands that he's wrong and he believes he's wrong. Again, I'm going to say it in the second time. Because this issue is precise. A man, he gives the judgment with other than what Allah has revealed. And he knows that the ruling of Allah is the truth. And he believes that he should follow the ruling of Allah. And he believes that he is making a mistake and that he's sinning in what he's doing. But his desires have overtaken him, or his shahwa has overtaken him, or the condition or his job or whatever, his position has overtaken him. And he hoped in actuality that he didn't do it, but he did it. He said, this person, no doubt, he is part of the people of the major sins, who are well known. But we do not judge him as being a person who has gone outside of the fold of Islam. His situation is like the one who devoured riba. The person believes that riba is haram, or he makes zina, or he drank whiskey or wine. But he's like those people. This person, he does not go outside of the fold of Islam. His situation is similar to the people who make the major sins, and there is no difference between them and the people who make the other major sins, whether he's ruling in one issue or other issues. See, more than one issue. The fifth person, the fifth and the sixth person, because in actuality, the ruling on them is one. And he's the man who judged with other than what Allah revealed. And he believed that that is halal. He made it halal. And he believed that there's no difference between this constitution, a constitution that's man-made, or what Allah has revealed, the legislation of Allah. And sixth, the man who judged by other than Allah's legislation, believing that the ruling of Allah is not good for this time or this particular condition. And so now we should make the man-made constitution, because the affairs have changed and the ruling of Allah is not applicable, it's not good for this time. These two people, the fifth and the sixth people, are outside of the deen. They're kuffar. both of them outside of the fold of al-Islam. Did you brothers pay attention to that? The man, he thought or he feels that what Allah revealed and the other constitution is one and the same. And then the sixth person, the man who believes that the ruling of the constitution is better than the ruling of Allah. It's more beneficial for the time than the book, than the legislation of Allah. These two people, no doubt that these people have gone outside of the deen and outside of the fold of Islam into another religion. After we have explained this explanation and these details, we need to understand something in this issue, and that is that the ruling concerning this is for Allah and His Messenger. And the one who explains these rulings are the scholars. You should go back to them. The issue should be brought back to them. And they should be asked, the fatwa should be taken from them in this affair, because they are the ones who know the fiqh of the new issues and affairs. They're the ones who know the fiqh al-waqi, the situation that the people are living in. They're the ones who know how to take the issues and understand the issues from the legislation of the text, the book of Allah, and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Allah says, ask the people of al-dhikr if you do not know, the scholars. And Allah said, if they returned it back to the Rasul and to the people of responsibility from them, the ones who had the ability to take the benefit out of it, they would explain it to them. Had it not been for the virtues of Allah, most of you would have followed Shaitan, except a few of you. After this, brothers, we're going to complete what we're saying with the misk al-khitam, with a nice mouth. And that is to explain to you how this ummah is the ummah that is in the middle course. And we're going to explain to you how the people of Ahl al-Sunnah are in the middle course between the different other communities or ummahs. The ummah of al-Islam is in the middle between the other people. Between the people who go too far to the right or too far to the left. The people who are extreme and the people who are harsh and those who are easy. And this becomes clear to us when we read Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, guide us to the sirat that is mustaqim, the straight way. The way of those who you have favored. Not the way of those who you are angry with or the ones who go astray. Oh, meaning, oh our Lord, give us the tawfiq to go down the middle course. The middle course of those people who are the prophets and the righteous and the shuhada. And these are a good fraternity. Far away from the people who you are angry with, meaning the Yahud, the Jews. And far away from the... They went astray because they had knowledge. And make us away from the other extreme, the Christians, who went astray without any knowledge. When the ones who lied on Allah caused them to go astray. And Allah also said, and verily this is my sirat that is straight, so follow it. And do not follow the different roles, because if you did, you would go off of my way. This is what we gave as a legacy, so fear Allah and follow it. And it's also authentic in the hadith of Abu Mas'ud that the Prophet ﷺ said, he said that Ibn Mas'ud, that the Prophet ﷺ made a line. He made a line, a straight line. And then he made on its right line and on its left other line. And then the Prophet said, concerning the long line, this is the way of Allah. And these other ways are other roads. On each roll of path is a shaitan calling the people to that way. And then he started to read the ayah in the Quran, and verily this is my sirat that is straight, so follow it. And do not follow the other ways or you will go astray. This is the legacy that we gave you, so fear Allah. And for this reason, he had made the way one. And the plural, the sirat mustaqim is one, the straight way is one. And the other ways are many, and they are different and divided. In this, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, And for that reason, we have made you an ummah that is in the middle court so that you may be witnesses over the people and that the Prophet may be a witness over you. Ibn Kathir, he said, concerning this, he said, wasatan in the middle, meaning just. So this ummah is an ummah that is in the middle, and it's the best of the ummah. And it's the greatest of the other community. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, explaining the importance of being in the middle court. He said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari when he sent them to Yemen, make things easy and do not make things difficult. Give good clarity and do not run the people away. And listen and obey. And do not be different amongst yourself. Do not be different amongst yourself. And the Prophet said, verily, this deen is easy. And no one is going to be harsh in this deen except that the deen is going to overtake him. So make things, do as much as you can. And do as much as you possibly can and travel at night time. And he explained by saying, do the deeds in the daytime and the nighttime, and do not forget to make a part for yourselves from the good deeds in the nighttime. As Allah said, they used to not sleep much in the nighttime, but they used to stand up and they used to make salat in that of Allah. So this ummah of al-Islam is a middle course, ummah in the middle course. And also, the people of Ahl al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah in Islam, they are in the middle course as it relates to the other groups of the Muslims. They are in the middle concerning the oneness of the Lordship of Allah Ta'ala. Between, whereas you have the other people who say that Allah is everything, and then you have on the other end, a group of people, the communists, who say that Allah is not present. One group says that Allah is in everything, the other group says that Allah isn't present. And they also in the middle course, between the polytheists, those people who worship other than Allah, those who do not deserve, that's one extreme. And then the other extreme is that these people, the Sufis, and they are between two in the issue of the names of Allah and His characteristics. They're between the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, as well as the Maturidiyya and the Ash'ariyya, and between the Karamiyya and the people who are like them who say that Allah is similar to His creation. And they're in the middle as well concerning the issue of Iman and the Deen. Between the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila on one extreme, the people who say that the Muslims are kuffar because they commit major sins, and between the other extreme of the Murji'a who say that the Muslim can do any sin and it doesn't harm his Iman. They're between these people. They're between the people on one end who said that they're kuffar, and then on the other people, on the other end, the people are lackadaisical. They don't even say that kuffar. The Murji'a say, don't even call the kuffar. Ahl al-Sunnah also in the middle concerning the Qadr of Allah. Between on one end, the Qadariyya, who say that there's no Qadr, and that we're all forced. And they say that the Qadariyya and the Jabriyya on the other hand. The Jabriyya on one hand say that the servant is forced to do everything. He's like a piece of paper in the wind. And as it relates to the companions of the Prophet, they're on the middle course. They're between two extremes. On one extreme you have the Khawarij and the Nawasib, those people who said that the Sahabas or some of the Sahabas were kuffar. I will be that. And on the other end, the Shiite. The people, on one hand you have the people who say that some of the Sahabas are kuffar, and on the other hand you say that they have some of the Shiite who say that some of the companions are God next to Allah. So therefore, brothers, what we have to do is we have to go on the middle course at all times. This middle course will lead us to success, because it is the way of Allah that is straight, and it is the cable of Allah that is strong. Whoever holds on to it will be successful. Whoever goes away from it will be destroyed. and hold on to the rope of Allah altogether and do not be divided amongst yourselves. And this is the way of the believers. And Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and whoever goes against the Prophet after the guidance has been made clear to him and he follows other than the way of the believers, we will cause him to be turned to that which he turned to. And we will enter into the hellfire and what an evil abode. So we have to do our best in following this Sirat al-Mustaqim and not to go away from it to the right or to the left until we arrive to the pleasure of Allah, inshallah, and to the paradise of Allah. We ask Allah to make us and you from the people of paradise. And we ask Allah al-Kareem and the possessor of the great throne to show us the truth, make it truthful, and help us to follow it. And to show us the falsehood as being falsehood and help us to stay away from it. We ask Allah the Most High by His greatest, all of His names and His high exalted name to give us guidance in our affairs. And we ask Allah the best of what His servant and His messenger Muhammad has asked Him. We also ask that. And we seek refuge from the worst and the evil of what the Prophet ﷺ and his servant has sought refuge in Allah from it as well. O Allah, we ask you the guidance and taqwa and afiyah and good in our religion. O Lord of Jibreel and Mikael, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the knower of the unseen and the unknown, you judge between your servants and what they are mukhtarifun in it. Guide us to the what they may ikhtilaf in it. Verily, you guide whoever you want to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. May Allah give us the tawfiq and all good. And the best ending is that we ask Allah to put us all together in His paradise. And our last statement is, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And peace and blessings be upon His messenger and His servant Muhammad and His family and His companions. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh. Ameen. Location as well. First question. Did anyone write down all of the conditions? What is the position of the rulers of the Muslims today? Those who do not judge by what Allah has revealed. And the Sheikh has answered that question already in his lesson. I heard that there was kufr of the action and kufr of the statement of the i'tiqad. Can you please talk about that? The Sheikh said yes. There's disbelief connected to the kufr of the aqidah, the belief. For an example, a person not believing in iman, having no iman, or rejecting one of the pillars of al-Islam, or making shirk with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is kufr. This is in the actions and in the belief. Also, from the i'tiqad or the aqidah, is for someone's heart to become connected to other than Allah and to give something else the worship other than Allah. As for the disbelief of the actions, to slaughter other than Allah, or to swear by other than Allah, or to make sajda to other than Allah, and also to curse Allah and His Messenger, a'udhu billah, and making fun of the religion, or mocking the religion, and judging with other than what Allah reveals. So yes, there is two types of, there are many, many types of disbelief. Difficult to confine them. Well, second question. Who are the Ibadiyya? And are they from the Khawarij? And if they're not from the Khawarij, do they say that the Muslims are kuffar like the Khawarij do? Who are they? The Ibadiyya, they are one of the groups from the groups of the Khawarij. And there are many types of Khawarij. There are many, many groups from them. And it's very difficult to count all of them. The Ibadiyya are a group from amongst them. And they're the followers of Abdullah ibn al-Ibad. And this man, he was less than the Khawarij as far as Takfir was concerned. He wasn't as bad as they were. But in spite of that, they are from what remains of the Khawarij. Those people have not ceased to remain upon the old way of the Khawarij. And they're like all of the Khawarij now. They make kuffar everyone who goes against them, and they make kuffar those who fall into sin. And they're from the people who said that Ali and Muawiyah and Amr ibn Auf and other than them, they were kuffar. And they still live in some of the Islamic countries. And so the summary of the Aqidah is to make a person a kafir because of his sin, especially some of the Sahabas. A'udhu Billah. There are many types of innovation. And there are some types of bid'ah that will lead you to disbelief. The question is concerning whether or not the people of innovation and the people of the sunnah, should that innovation lead the Ahl al-Sunnah to fight in the people? So when people reject, there are different types of bid'ah. Bid'ah that people reject things from the deen, things of the deen that are well known. There are different types of innovations. Some are more severe than others. And there are other types of innovation that are less. As for the issue of the fighting between the Ahl al-Sunnah and the people of Bid'ah, the Sheikh said, their religion is what defines and explains. The ulama, they are the ones who decide that issue. As for what is being called to in any particular time, so what has to be done is that the people should give advice to the deviants or the innovators. Do our best in giving advice to them. And if we have to fight them, if the fight has to take place because they're insisting on the innovation, if the Islamic or the Muslim ruler, if the conditions are conducive to that and they are persistent in doing what they're doing and their business of a degree or a level where it has to be dealt with, then it is the ulama who are the ones who decide, along with the Muslim ruler, the one who establishes the rulings of Allah. As for the issue as it is now, should we just fight them or not fight them? This is something that we should not even be discussing or getting into, but we should be giving them advice and doing as much as we can in giving them advice and making an effort as much as possible to teach them about the religion of Allah and to take away the misunderstanding or that thing that is ambiguous and making refutation against it. And in front of us is an opportunity, and that is to refute them with a pen or with our tongues and doing the most that we can to refute that innovation. Refute what we have with dalil. Refute what they're on with dalil. The person is asking about the third condition. The third condition concerning making someone a kafir. The third condition. And that third condition was not that. It wasn't that. Anyway, he's talking about a person being forced to say or do a statement of kufr. And it was, you don't say that he's a kafir if he's doing that because he wants to save himself or his money. If this happens, then if he does this, he does something or he says something of kufr, but his heart is still tranquil with iman, then there's no problem. He's not a kafir because the Prophet said, verily Allah has overlooked my ummah in three things. The mistakes they make, the forget that they make, the forget things they forget, and what they're forced to do out of necessity, out of compulsion. Now, so someone asked him to explain the third condition that the Sheikh talked about, the condition, sadrisi. The person asked about the proofs, about the condition that were mentioned. He said, go back to the details of what the tafsir of the Salaf, the books of tafsir, about the ayat in Surah Al-Ma'idah, whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, they are the kuffar, the kafirun. Read what Ibn Jarir said and Ibn Kathir said concerning this, and to the sunnah as well about the hadith that we mentioned, and the speech of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah concerning that issue. Because he really did good in this issue in many places of his book. And in the University of Medina, there's a book that has been written for someone's doctor's degree, and it's called The Position of Ibn Taymiyyah Concerning the Issue of Takfir by one of the students of knowledge in the university, Abdul Majid Tawfiq. May Allah make it come out pretty soon. And in any event, these issues are present in the books of Tafsir and the books of Sunnah. Also, go back to the beautiful speech of Al-Imam An-Nawawi and Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani when they talked about these hadith that were mentioned and harmonization of these hadith. Like cursing a Muslim is evil and killing them is kufr. And like the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, there are two things that if are possessed in the people is they have kufr. Look what Al-Imam An-Nawawi said, an explanation of Muslim and Fath al-Bari by Ibn al-Hajr. What's the ruling concerning the one who leaves the Salah? As for the one who leaves Salah intentionally and he's against it, he said he's a kafir. As for the one who does it because he's lackadaisical and he's lazy, the Sheikh said, I will not say that he's a kafir. So many of, he said he doesn't say it this way or that way. He said, but some of the shuyukh say that they are kufar, some of the shuyukh say other than that. So the majority of the ulama of the opinion that they are not kafirs. He said, as for me, I'm not going to say this or that. I'm mutawakif. The question is, what is the ruling of a person who says, if you're lucky that I'm a Muslim, because if I wasn't a Muslim, I would do with you such and such a thing. The Sheikh is explaining by saying, if a person says something like that, if I wasn't a Muslim, I would do such and such with you, the Sheikh says, Alhamdulillah, Al-Islam prevented the person from doing that which goes against the deen. Alhamdulillah. So let him keep on what he's doing. Let Al-Islam prevent him from doing that which is wrong. Is it permissible for us to call some of the deviant groups as being groups that are kafirs, like the Rafida, and like the Ibadiyya, and like the Murji'a? Can we say that they're kufa? He said, as in relation to the Rafida, the Shiite, the Rafida, those people have broadcast and made it clear. As Sheikh Suhaib said, this is a dangerous question. I'm going to mention some issues to you, and I leave it up to you. And I'm going to summarize these points from what they believe. And then you yourself, you judge, according to the Kitab and the Sunnah. For an example, what do they believe? They believe that the Quran that we have is incomplete. Even the contemporary people today, they wrote a book about this, and they called it, in which they're explaining the real statement about how our Quran is not complete. And to this point, they still believe in that. But then they have this issue of taqiyya. They say, no, we don't believe that. But in actuality, they do. They also believe. They reject the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, all of the hadith that have come to us in the sunnah, from the sunnah, except that which is established from the Ahlul Bayt, and they themselves lie on the people of Ahlul Bayt. They reject Al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, Sahih Bukhari, and the other books of the Sunnah. Third thing they believe in. They say that the wives of the Prophet ﷺ are kuffar, except Khadija, qatalahum Allah. And they say that Aisha, she made adultery. Even though Allah cleared her from that, they say that this ayat is not true. And some of the claims that they made, it will make the skin stand up on the hair stand on the skin. And they say things that the Sheikh said he can't say at this time. So bad. The fourth thing. They concentrate on Hafsa and Aisha because they hate their fathers, Abu Bakr and Umar. They say all of the Sahabas are kuffar except 7 or 4 or arba or 14 or 17. And when they say that the companions are kuffar, this is to destroy al-Islam, because Islam came to us by way of the Sahaba. So if the Sahabas don't remain, then there's no Islam. They say that al-Bada, they believe in al-Bada, meaning that Allah doesn't know what's going to happen before that thing happens. They believe that the imams are infallible. And our minhaj, the minhaj of the Salaf, is only the Anbiya are infallible, the prophets, the messengers. They say that their imams have a place that is higher than the place of the Anbiya and the close ones to Allah, like the angels. They have a book called Al-Hukum al-Islamiyya in the 50th page by Al-Khumayni, in which he mentions this, that the imams are higher than the prophets. There's another book that they have, The Secrets, Al-Asrar. This man who wrote this book, he talked about a man called Ni'matullah Jazairi, another one of them. He said that the Prophet, he wanted the Prophet. He said that the Lord who wanted Abu Bakr to be the Khalifa of the Prophet is not our Lord. The one who chose for Abu Bakr to be the Khalifa of the Prophet, that's not our Lord. A'udhu Billah. They also have this taqiyya. This taqiyya or taqiyya is where a person, he shows outwardly the opposite of what he really believes. If he's with a person who is his enemy, he shows him one picture, but then when he's with the people of his belief, he is another way. He'll tell you one thing that he doesn't really believe because you're his enemy to fool you. And then when he's with his friend, or the one who's on what he's on, he shows his real face. And in actuality, this is hypocrisy, nifaq. And all of these things really deserve that we take some time on each one, but it's not enough time. I'm talking to you about what was written in their books and not what we say about them. The next thing, they worship people of the grave. They worship people of the grave, and they believe that the people in the grave, they know the unseen, and they like the Sufis in that. Also, they say this thing that's called a Raja, and that is that people like Ali is going to come back, and he's going to bring back to life Abu Bakr and Umar, and then he's going to give them an evil punishment. And this is a little bit of the great ocean of what we can mention about those people in their books, from their books. This by itself, each one. Ibn Zaydun said, is there any one of these things by itself would have been a small thing, a big thing, but what about when they all come together? The last question, the Hafiz to have a bait. What is the position of the Muslim who cannot pray Salat with the Jama'at? Yes, Sheikh. Is he a sinner? It's not connected to the issue. Or is he a deviant? He said this. Why can't he? Is it because he's impossible to arrive or to reach the masjid? Why can't he pray with the Jama'at? Or is it because of some other issue, because he's afraid, or what's the reason why he can't pray in Jama'at? If he doesn't come to Jama'at without a just cause or reason, this is a dangerous issue. Some of the ulama, from them Ibn Hazm said that he has no salat. But what the majority of the people of knowledge say, and inshallah this is the correct thing, is that his salat is acceptable, but he's sinning. He's sinning in what he's doing. Even though Ibn Hazm, he has some dalil that it seems to be strong, it is strong in what he's using it for, but the majority of the scholars just say that it's just a warning. That is, the hadith, whoever hears the adhan and he doesn't come to the masjid, there is no salah for him except for a legitimate excuse. It's been authentically reported on the Prophet ﷺ that he said, I have almost desired when the salat time comes to get someone to pray for me in my position and to go get the wood so that I can burn the houses of the people who do not come to the salat, to the masjid. And had it not been for his mercy for the people in the houses, the women and the children, he would have done that. And when Abdullah ibn Maktoum, who was a blind man, he came to the Prophet ﷺ to get excused from coming to the masjid in his way, and he was blind. There were many dangerous rodents, rats and rodents. He came to the Prophet, and the Prophet said, okay, you don't have to come to the masjid. Then he asked him, he said, do you hear the adhan? The man said, yeah. He said, then answer the nida, or the adhan. He said, I will not find any excuse for you. Even though he was blind. And also during the time of the Prophet, a man would be carried to the masjid between two men. Two men would be carrying him, helping him to the masjid. So if this is the situation, then leaving the salat in the jama'at is a great evil and sin. So it is fardu ayn. Every man who is capable of doing it should do it. Let us pay attention to that, and let us do our best in praying in salat al-jama'at, because salat prevents from the evil and the lewd deeds. Hey, yeah.